Praise God. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter 1:23 and let's open up. We've been looking at the parable of the sower, and I want to just add a little more to this tonight. And but when we talk about seed, we've got to look at 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, how? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then it talks about all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass wither. That means we getting older. If you don't think so, look in the mirror. And the flower thereof falleth away, but the what? The word of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And so it's what? The seed is the word of God, and it's what? It's eternal. It liveth and abideth forever. It's incorruptible. You know, we all came, all of us that are sitting in here, young or old, we came from a seed. Corruptible, but we came from a seed. But thank God, our spirits were changed from what? An incorruptible seed. The word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So again, you know, the word of God talks about, and for 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. Isn't that wonderful? Our spirits can expand. They can grow. It increaseth. What increases? Faith increases. The anointing increases. Where? In my spirit. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 3:6, you know, we've been looking at these scriptures. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. So we can see any seed needs to be planted and watered, but God gives the increase. And I know I'm repeating some things, but you know what? I like repetition. Because Brother Hagin said when he was alive, he said, the reason people don't succeed as much in their faith is because they reject the watering process. This is what he said. They reject the repetition process. They get excited when they hear the word first, but then the second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth time, they go, yeah, I know that already. And they tune out. So they don't open their heart up to let it water the seed that's been planted. So that's his revelation and his experience through the years, that people could be more successful if they watered more, which is really what the scripture's saying. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And it goes on in that verse down in 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. This is 1 Corinthians 3:9. And that word husbandry just means a garden or a field. What's the garden or field? My spirit is. So my spirit is the place where seed is planted and watered, and where the harvest comes from. Hallelujah. So we're God's garden, we're his field where he plants the seed, or the seed is designed to be planted. I'll say it that way. And now I'm just going to add this other scripture, Isaiah 55:8. Familiar with this scripture? It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is the Lord saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thoughts, you could say, are intentions. His intents are not my intents or intentions, thank God. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he goes on in verse 9 and 10, and he talks about how the heavens are higher than the earth, and his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. And he said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. He's talking about rain now. And make it. And so again, what are we talking about? Something being watered, right? And he said, here it maketh what? The seed that was sown, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And now what happens in verse 11, he begins to change the thought here, or connect, maybe a better word is to connect the thought with thoughts with his words. He said, so shall my what? My word be that goeth forth what? Out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but what? It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And that's why we were talking before that you can't see a thought. Thoughts are spiritual, good or bad. Thoughts are spiritual. You can't see a thought. You can't touch a thought. But when you speak words, words are basically encapsulating or a container of your thoughts. You're expressing your thoughts. You know, people, you can't see fear, but somebody will tell you, I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I'm happy. I'm joyful, right? So the same point here, God's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he goes on and says, so shall my word be. And we know this, that the word of God was inspired by God, inspired writers to pen his what? What he's thinking, his thoughts. So this is why we say you get enough of God's thoughts in you, you get enough of God's word in you, that it will change you. It'll change your spirit. It'll give you eternal life. So this is why when we talk about, it's important what you listen to, what you read, what you watch, because ultimately somebody had some idea that they wanted to put in music, in a play, in a movie, in something they've penned. And if you feed on that enough, you're feeding on what inspired them to write that. And that's why we need to be led as to what we allow in here in this field, right? Because if you water it enough and you keep feeding on it, you know, you've heard that old saying, they said it so much they believed it, right? You keep listening to something enough and you begin to take on that thought that's trying to be conveyed, right? Whatever that thought is being conveyed. So we need to think about what it is we're feeding on, what it is we're reading. And of course, we know that it's the word of God that we should spend our time thinking about and feeding upon. And let me jump over here in Joshua 1:8. I'm just going to bring out some of these scriptures here that we've touched on, because it's all talking about God's word and how it pertains to us here. Now Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall what? Not depart, where? Out of our mouth, but we shall do what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. So in other words, you're going to act upon it. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. That sounds like a harvest to me. See, when we talk about seed time and harvest, if you keep meditating on the word, you allow, you obey it, you let it not depart from your mouth, you meditate on it day and night, you observe to do it, it says here, you're going to make your way prosperous. That sounds like you planted something, you watered it, and then there's a harvest. There's prosperity, right? And so we just touch on that. Proverbs 4, verse 20, same intention, same theme here. My son, do what? Attend to my what? My words, the word of God. Incline what? Your ear unto my sayings. Let them not what? Depart from thine eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. For they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you can read, you know, and I've done this so many times here, different translations of verse 23. The Good News translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's why we see people who, and no fault of their own, if they're put in settings where they're constantly around people who say things and think things, they can begin to take on that thinking, and their life begins to be shaped by their thoughts, which are what? Influenced by people around them. That's why it's important who you hang with. Because you're going to hear people say things, think things, and you might be, you know, trying to get out of something in a situation in life, and you're going to have to be swimming upstream, so to speak, right? Or in opposition. Here's another, I like this, the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Guard your heart. That's what the King James says. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When you look up that word issues, that Hebrew word means extremities, the boundaries. That's really what that definition means. And so other translations have translated it in a similar way, but it just says, guard your heart, for it's the source of life extremities. Consequences. What does that mean? What you say, you set boundaries in your life. You set the boundaries and the circumstances by what you say. What does that mean? You have what you say. Scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we need to guard our heart and put God's word in it so that we begin to think differently. What does that mean? Faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of something not seen. So what does that mean? Faith is able to see something that you can't see. Faith sees something that hasn't become visible yet. So that's why when you see people who are visionaries, they can see something and people say, ah, well, you see something by faith. If God shows you something or shows you doing something, then you need to hold on to that. You don't necessarily have to tell everybody, but you can say it and say, I thank God I'm going to do that. I'm going to go there and I'm going to be that. Right? Doesn't mean you have to just take steps to go ahead and do that, but you need to confess it and say it. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go there. I'm going to get that. I'm going to have that. Why? Because God showed me. And then as you're led, you take the steps in those directions. You see. But you initially speak in faith. And that's what this is saying here. You don't want to, you know, have God show you something and then you say something negative. I can't do that. That we can go to Numbers 13 and see that. God told the Israelites, go in the land and take it. Send the spies in. And 10 came out with what? An evil report. And God told them, the land is yours. Take it. And they came back and said, yep, it's beautiful. Everything you said. But we can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. They've got walled cities. Where is grasshoppers in their eyes? And they were, and it says, and so they were. And so they had to wander because they did not obey. They didn't obey a command of the Lord that land is yours. They say, we can't do it. And so we don't want to find ourselves in that situation, do we? So feed on the things that God has told you to do and say them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So let's turn over. I want to just take a moment and let's just quickly, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but let's just quickly look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, starting in 4. This is the parable of the sower. And we'll take a look at it. You know, one of the things I'm seeing here, you know, a lot of times we look at this particular parable, and we've looked at this for many weeks, and we're looking at this and saying, okay, we've got four different types of ground. We've got wayside, wayward ground, or ground that's a hard path, as the New Living, or stepped a hard ground. And then we have rocky soil, and then we have what? Thorny ground, and then we have good ground. Do you know, we've all not reached a place where we're operating in our faith in every area of our life. You may be operating great in one area, two areas, three areas, and there may be one area you need to come up a little bit. And so you could be hard ground in one area. You could be rocky soil in another area. You could be a thorny place in another area, meaning there could be some thorns in there and they grow up and you're like, ah, and you're getting excited about the word, but then some pressure comes and what happens? You give up. You stop watering, and that good ground, that's what excites me, is that if you hold on to the word that and you stick with it, a harvest will come. So it's not just saint and sinner. It could be saint and just your heart growing in certain areas, right? So Luke 8 and verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The New Living says stepped on. And some translations, when you look up that word trodden down, it actually means to trample on. And when you look it up in the Greek concordance, it says to reject with disdain. So a lot of people say, well, how could seed be sown by the wayside and the devil come and take the seed that's sown? Because it was trodden down. It was rejected with disdain. So it was like, I don't want to hear that. How many have been in those places? Maybe it was us. We said, I've heard enough of that. I don't want to hear anymore. And so you all can, you know, we know certainly some may be in that position, you know, that are sinners. They don't want to hear the word, right? And this word disdain, it just means something regarded as inferior. You know, people snub the word. I want to hear that. What does it say? The word is foolishness to them that are lost, but it's the power of God unto us that have received it. So we don't want to find ourselves stepping on the word of God. And it says, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. See, this goes back to Paul writing to the church of Corinth. I planted, Apollos watered. Why did this seed fail? Because it said it lacked moisture. So we need to make sure we're watering the word. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried and said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the parable is this. I'm sorry, to verse 11. The seed is what? The word of God. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Why was he able to take it out? Because we just got done reading in the parable. See, he unpacked this for his disciples. Because if you read in verse 10, they said, why, can you explain this to us? And that's what he's doing. And so here in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, do what? Receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are what? Choked with cares, or you could say worries, and riches, and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So it doesn't say that the seed didn't take root. It doesn't say that it wasn't starting to grow. It just said these other things came in and choked it, and it didn't bring fruit to perfection. And then verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So right here, Jesus tells us what makes up good ground. He begins to show us this is what makes up good ground. So let me read this so we can see what makes up good ground. It's an honest and good heart. Let me read some of these. I like some of these translations. It says here, the New Century. It says, and the seed that fell on good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit. This is God's word translation. The seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. See, so what does that mean? They stick with it. They just stick with it until they get a harvest. And the Message translation says, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. So that means you take the word of God. What does that mean? That's faith. Faith says, I'm convinced of something I've read. I'm convinced of something that's been provided for me because of the blood of Jesus, and I receive it. I receive it by faith. I'm convinced. What does that mean? The Holy Ghost revealed something in his word to you. Faith came, and I've got it. I believe I have it. How many have been there? I've been there. I've been on a bit of sickness, and I knew I had it. You know, I always tell this story, you know, you better believe, you know, I've had situations where, you know, where God has spoken to me about certain things. I remember in 2000, he spoke to me, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That was 6 months. And I was so convinced I had it that I didn't go to the doctor for 2 weeks. But then when I went, you had to be led, because the first doctor I went, I said, oh, no, I ain't going back. No. You got to know down here, you got to know that this is the right person to see or not see, because it can be life or death. And so he told me if I didn't get it checked, he said, you won't see the end of the year. So I went through a process. And it really was changing some dietary things. And I did, and within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, all this turmoil was changed in my stomach. And within 6 months, it was gone. And I asked the doctor, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you'd waited one more week, they would have opened you up. And I knew then, if they had opened me up, it had gone down another way. See? So all I'm saying is you better get the word of God in, be convinced, but don't ignore the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture says in 1 John, it says, the Father, the Word and the Holy Spirit bear record in heaven, and they are one. So you're not going to have the Holy Ghost telling you to do something apart from the Word. And so if we get enough of the Word in us, you'll know it's the Holy Ghost directing you and leading you. See? So that's what we want to do. We want to be led by His Spirit and have faith in our hearts. So let me just jump over here a little bit. We're adding some more to this again. We touched a few lessons ago. We touched on Hebrews 10:35. What was that? We're talking about Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Cast not away, therefore, what? Your faith, for it has what? Great recompense of reward. That's harvest to me. See, that's a good and honest heart. You're accepting the word of God. You're sticking with it till you see a harvest. Don't cast away, therefore, the harvest. Don't cast away your faith. Don't cast it away. Let me get over into tonight's lesson here. Because I don't want to. But again, these truths will carry us. So let's jump over Mark chapter 4. And verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And it said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should do what? Cast seed into the ground. Now, when we talk about ground, when we talk about a field, remember what it said. It said, we are God's husbandry. We are God's building. And so when we says cast something into the ground, what is he talking about? He's talking about something that's planted where? In our hearts, in our spirit. And he said here that the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Why doesn't he know how? Because God giveth the increase. Right? So it's growing all the time. And as long as you keep watering it, God gives the increase. And it says here, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the year. So we can see here that how do we sow the seed? We speak it. The seed, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but you also speaking the word of God, you're hearing yourself speak the word of God. Faith comes by hearing yourself speak the word of God. And it will eventually bring forth that which you plant. So continuing in Mark 30, it says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of what? Mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So this word seeds also, I've brought this out before, when it said it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds. That word seeds is the word sperma in Greek. It's where we get the word sperm from. So when we talk about just in the natural, the characteristics of a person are carried in that DNA of that seed. So God's nature is carried in the seed, in the Word of God. So when we get the Word of God, His very nature, His DNA is in that seed. His power, His love, His faith, all of that's in the Word of God, in the seed. And if I get enough of that seed and I keep watering it, I'm going to become an image of Him. I'm going to be like Him, right? That's the power of the seed, right? And so when we continue, let's jump over to Matthew 17. Similar, Matthew 17. And here in verse 14, he's talking about here, this is when the disciples were this account here, he had already in Matthew 10, he'd already anointed the disciples. He'd already anointed them and gave them, as it said, power to cast out demons, lay hands on the sick. And let me get over to Matthew 17 here. And so now they're complaining because they can't deal with this lunatic. And Jesus gets involved, right? And here it comes down and verse 16, and he said, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Jesus said, O faithless and what? Perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And jump down here, and of course, Jesus rebuked the devil. And verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because they wanted to know, why couldn't we do this? And he said, because of your what? Unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith, still talking about a seed, if you had faith as what? A grain of mustard seed, you'll do what? Say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So one of the things here, one of the aspects I want to look at with seed is that we need to affirm our faith. How do we affirm our faith? We speak it. We speak with our mouth. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And so John 4:24, God is a spirit. If God is a spirit, I'm a spirit. And I'm made to do what? I'm made in His image and likeness. Genesis, the first few chapters, what did He do? He spoke things into existence. If I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I'm going to do what? Speak things. I'm going to say things. And so this is why we need to constantly be affirming what I believe, what has been given to me according to the cross, what's been provided, and constantly affirm that, constantly say that, who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, what I can do, what I can have. And I have to constantly affirm that, because if you don't, then you're going to be thinking on something else. You're going to be meditating upon something else. And this is how we tie in this parable of the sower sowing the seed. If you place your, you know, what type of ground are you? That's the question. What type of ground are you? Are you letting life's circumstances overwhelm you, and you start doing what? Saying something. What are you watering your heart with? What are you thinking on? What is Joshua 1:8 we were reading? Proverbs 4, My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them what? Not depart out from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For what? Their life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. So if you're meditating on your circumstances, if you keep meditating on what the doctor said, I'm not saying I'm not saying don't obey some directions. I'm saying if you place that above the word of God and you begin to say, I can't do that because I have this. I can't go here because I have this. I'm restricted. You know, you hear this all the time. We hear people say, I can't live here in this area because I'm on a restricted income. Well, so be it. And that's what Jesus would say. So be it. Be it unto you according to your faith. If you keep meditating on the circumstances of your restricted income, see, this might be hard ground for somebody. But you don't understand, I am. Well, you can say that with your mouth, and if you keep believing it, what does Mark 11:23 say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not what? Doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have them. So you will have a restricted life and a restricted income. You know, I remember early in my life hearing Charles Capps back in the early 80s teaching on these subjects where he took the word of God to his heart. He said, look, I loved hunting and fishing. He said, I go into the woods, I love to hunt. And he said, inevitably, if I'm going in the woods, I'm getting poison ivy. So he would say, I got a hold of the word in this area that I could have what I say, if I don't doubt it, and it's been provided by the blood, if it's been provided under the new covenant, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, then I'm redeemed from it. So he said, what would I do? I'd get it all over my body. And he'd say, I'd go get some calamine lotion, go through the process. But as I'm doing it, I'm speaking the word. I'm making a confession over my body. He said it took 6 months. And he went into the woods and he grabbed that poison ivy and stripped it down the vine and he said it wouldn't get on my hands or body. What is that? The word, the seed. He stuck with it until it produced a harvest of health and healing in his body. Life, eternal life, pushed the curse out of his body. So we may not be at that level. And maybe it'll take you longer than 6 months, whatever that is you're walking through. But keep speaking the word. Keep affirming the word. Keep watering the seed with your mouth. Keep meditating on it. Keep speaking it, and you will have what you say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. What kind of fruit do we want to eat? You know, I heard somebody say, if you're not having a good harvest, you need to check and do a soil test. That's true. How's your soil? What kind of soil you got going on, right? So, in this here, Jesus, the apostles thought they needed more faith. What did they say here? Increase our faith. This was in Luke 17. You can jump over there, 17:5. It says, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17:5. So they're complaining, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So this is what we're saying. The apostles thought they needed more faith. They needed an increase in their faith. But Jesus is saying to them, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, as small as or as insignificant as a grain of mustard seed, you might do what? Say unto this obstacle, this sycamine tree. So faith works like a seed, and it must be planted And how do we plant it? We plant it by speaking it. We plant it by speaking it and continuing to water it by our speaking. So we can see here, one thing I want to add here to this. This was something I have a few books. Let's look at Philemon 1 and verse 6. Only one book here, but Philemon 1, 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the what? The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in what? In Christ Jesus. So I've got to acknowledge, that word acknowledge means to confess or profess. I've got to profess every good thing that is in me. But it says, the communication of my faith, my confidence, my assurance, things that I'm assured of and confident of, I'm confessing that it may become effectual. That word effectual is the Greek word energeo. It means to be activated or energized. So when I speak the word and things that it says here, a communication of my faith, it energizes and does what? Activates those things that I'm acknowledging. When you say, I am healed in Christ, I am blessed, you're communicating, you're professing that. That's why when you're reading, when we go back and we look at Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. He's faithful that promised. So we need to continue to profess what you believe. You need to constantly do that. Start where you are. Start where you are. Let me just read this here. This was something, I have some older books that I've purchased through the years. This was a book, it was co-written by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. And it's called The Power of Spoken Faith. That's this book. And it was an interesting observation. This section was written by E.W. Kenyon. So he saw these things. He observed them during his lifetime. And he said this, our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. Continual affirmation has infinite value. But this is the thing that caught my attention. He said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. I thought that was a very interesting comment. He observed this. He said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. That's a powerful thing to say. And he observed that. Let me read it again. The thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming it, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. This is what we just got done reading, that the communication of my faith becometh effectual by the acknowledging of everything that is in me in Christ. You've got to constantly affirm, I am, you know, we sing these songs, I am a child of God. I am blessed. We sing these songs by Dean James. I am blessed. My family's blessed. My nation's blessed. My house is blessed. Everything I touch is blessed. We read that in Deuteronomy 28. You've got to constantly affirm, this is who I am in Christ. I'm a brand new creature in Christ. I'm brand new. I don't like the same things anymore. I am blessed when I come in. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. You've got to affirm. What does the scripture say in Revelation? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of their testimony. They affirmed the testimony of who they are. And that's what God is wanting. He wants to do what? Build into the body of Christ. That's why it fights when you read. Let me just jump over here. We'll close on this. But go over to the book of Ephesians. I'm just thinking about this as we're sharing here. I believe it's Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 11. And of course, we could read down from verse 1, but let me just get to verse 11 here. And it says, and he gave some, what, apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ, till we all come in what? The unity of what? The faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, or you could say mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the offices of the church are to help perfect and to help build us up in the things of God so that we can do what? Mature and come to the unity of the faith. So that when we all hook up together, we're thinking his thoughts, God's thoughts, we've got his ways, and we come together and we speak in an area and we command it to change. This is why the devil fights so much, because he wants us to think different kinds of thoughts and have different kinds of ways. And so when we constantly get the seed in our spirits and water it, we'll begin to have God thoughts. We'll begin to have God ways, and we'll have a heart for God. I mean, not only just a heart for God, but God's heart will be my heart, right? So that's why it's important when we talk about the seed of the Word of God, and faith is as a grain of mustard seed, that we've got to constantly affirm our faith. We've got to constantly speak it and say who I am in Christ. And I'm not going to let sickness and disease and poverty and lack and fear and doubt enter my thinking. Now, it may come, but I don't have to meditate upon it. I don't have to dwell upon it. Didn't say thoughts wouldn't come. You know, Brother Hagin, he had his little colloquialisms that he used to say. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop it from building a nest. Right? What does that mean? That means thoughts are going to come, but you don't have to allow them to stay. You command them to go. Casting down every thought and vain thought and imagination that does what? Exalts itself against the seed, against the word of God. Praise God. Amen. So we need to meditate on the word, speak the word, and those objectives that God has given us, those things that God has shown us, each personally or corporately, could be your family, could you be individually. Hold on to those things. You don't have to voice your things to people, because people may not understand it. And they may be just full of doubt that God didn't give them the instruction anyways. And what does it matter whether you share it with somebody else anyways. It don't matter. It's you're the one that has to obey it. He's going to hold you accountable, not somebody else. See, always remember the parable of the talents. He gave one what? Five, another two, and another one. And he wasn't too happy with the one that did what? Buried it. He didn't do anything with it. But thank God if we stay connected to the vine, if we're bringing forth fruit, what does he do? He prunes us so that we can do what? Bring forth more fruit. So that being connected to the vine to me means keep watering. And in the watering, he's going to show you some things you need to make adjustments in. Make the adjustments. And you're going to stick with it until you do what? Get a harvest. And some of the things, as you continue to be faithful in the little, he'll give you more. He'll give you more to do and more to believe for. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is life to our spirits. Thank you, Father, that we're reaching out farther than we've been before. Thank you, Father, where you show us, we'll make corrections. And we thank you, Father, that we're growing in faith. We thank you that our faith is expanding and reaching out further than it has been. And thank you most of all that our faith worketh by love. And we thank you that it is these three, although they remain faith, hope, and charity or love, but the greatest of these is love. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Father, that this year is the greatest year for souls. It's the greatest year for each of us individually and the greatest for the ministries that we represent. And we thank you for it, Father. We decree it by faith. And we thank you that even in the areas that we've claimed, we thank you, Father, that you're giving us wisdom and insight in how to reach further into the areas that we represent. Thank you, Father. Give us boldness. Give us an increase of anointing to reach people in the lost. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm expecting great things and bigger things. Amen.